Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here. And as we always talk about in this podcast, it's to connecting the technologies to the handshakes. And to do that, we have to manage things right. We have to figure out how we check the boxes and how we're going to do that. And today, I'm super stoked to be having Jeff Saylor, who is the business development manager, as well as Brian, who is the founder of Managing It Right. And we're going to unpack their platform and what it's all about together. And the main message that I want to convey is that at this point in time, we've had how many technology conversations? We all know we need software in today's market. But the question that I really teed up for today is which one and how? And how this is going to benefit you is that this is built by master facilitators. Brian and his crew are general contractors for master facilitators. And we all want to spend more time building better buildings. And on the pre-interviews, that's what we've been talking about and leading up. And so let's unpack the management of an IT platform built by builders for builders. And that's what this podcast is all about for you builders and affiliates. And I'm super excited to have them into the AOC Master Facilitator Program because we all need to work together to map this out. And there's so many different ways that you can get the right guides for your business. And managing it right is definitely one of those. So without further ado, let's get to know Jeff's story and then Brian's story and have as much fun as possible together. Lock and load, tribe. Jeff, what's your favorite beverage?
Gosh, I'd have to go with Dr. Pepper for sure.
Dr. Pepper, just what the doctor ordered. All right, what's a favorite place you've traveled?
Gosh, it'd probably have to be Disney World. We take our kids there every year.
We went to Disney World for the first time, and we were just having a ball, and it's something like Space Odyssey or something. It's like going to space, and it basically it just puts these and we're like going in. There's like no line to this one side, and the other side there's this line. We're like, I'm like, no lines. We go in, and we're like sitting in there, and there's like barf bags all over, and we're like, what did we just sign up for? And we lock in this thing and we're all just like miserable in that deal, the same experience. But also like our favorite one was the Avatar one, right? So like it's such a cool, like to put yourself what you don't know, right? And so what a great story. What do you like to do outside of construction that we're going to talk about breaking down these silos that we passionately call the art of construction?
Yeah. I mean, I play semi-pro football for a long time. I just quit after I quit 2 years ago. And so now I just play slow pitch softball like every other old guy and some flag football here and there. But I realized my body doesn't heal the way it used to when I was 20. So it's like every year I was tearing something or breaking something. And finally I just said, I can't do it anymore.
Cool. Where did you play semi-pro football?
So I played for the Charlotte Cobras. Before that, I played for the Wilmington Tigers in the Mason-Dixon Football League. I played safety and corner.
Well, it's an honor to have you, Jeff, and thanks for all the hard work of leading up to today. But when we do this, we always when we light the fire, we always want to start with the origin story. So, Brian Lampert, we're honored to have you here. What's your favorite beverage?
So I'm a little bit more boring. I've kind of gotten off the soft drinks and haven't don't really drink a lot of alcohol. So I'm more just plain old water.
All right. That's good stuff. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
So I've actually traveled to every state in the United States and overseas, for, work. So I've traveled extensively. And I mean, really for traveling goes for me. I mean, what I enjoy about it is really just looking at the architecture of, you know, the surroundings, the people. I don't really have a favorite experience because, you know, we just like to travel and see new things. But I always find it extremely just satisfying to see how are these structures or buildings built, the time period that they were built, you know, what kind of methods they were using. My brain just goes into different types of things when I'm traveling.
Awesome. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena we call the AOC?
So I really don't have that many hobbies. About 5 years ago, I started running. Just I was out of shape, and a friend of mine started getting me, you know, running, and yeah, I started running marathons and half marathons, and you know, since COVID, I've kind of laid off of that some because, you know, just been busy working, but just training, exercising, running is kind of my off work hobbies.
Awesome. Well, Brian Lamper, what is your story that led you to founding Managing It Right?
You know, have been building for over 30 years, and you know, my building career has led me into many different pathways of, you know, initially starting to build for myself and then starting to build for others, or contracting out to investors and such. And when we started going down that road, it was, how do we communicate between the work that we are providing for others, whether we're building for an investor or we're building for ourselves? How do we provide that communication between the field and the office, or the field and the subcontractors? And so, you know, I went down many avenues to try to find other software companies that would provide exactly what I was looking for, and none of them fulfilled that. So I decided to develop my own, and here we are.
Awesome. Well, what a great story of, like, you worked in the trenches for many years and then found a pain and went out to fix it. And then you went and built a team around that, right? And that's what I'm really excited to have the person who's out there talking about how the business works with the person who started it. And that's Jeff Saylor. So Jeff, what's your story that led you to being the business development for Managing It Right?
Yeah. So I used to do business development for a large manufacturer. We made lasers, press brakes, all sorts of stuff, right? And I ran the development side for them, and I loved it. But I was gone every week, and came back home, went into project management down here, finished my master's in business administration. When I was doing the project management operations role, I didn't love it, you know, and it wasn't as I had, you know, had planned. So I started looking into software, started looking to get back into business development, and I came across Brian and his company and started looking into it and went interviewed. And I wasn't sure if it was something I was really wanting to go down, but as soon as we opened up the software and started digging into it, I, you know, if I can get behind something and I can believe in something, then I can sell it, and I want to be part of that. And the vision and the kind of software and how many things, how many issues it solves for people, I started to believe in it. I said, you know, this is something I want to do. And so Brian brought me on as a business development, and it's been about 4 months, three, 4 months now. It's a great, you know, great company, great software to be representing. So that's how I came here.
Awesome. I can definitely feel your passion, and that's going to be a great for this conversation. But I want to start by kind of on our pre-interviews of, like, hitting the big problem head on as far as, you know, the world of subcontracting, the people that make the built environment work. There's so many smaller companies or master craftspeople that are out there making it happen. And over and over, and we were talking about this, and I want to tee this up and get Brian's take and then Jeff's take of, when you think of IT and coaching, of kind of that, you have to figure out how the right people are going to help you map it out and then get the right tools as a smaller builder. A lot of times they just say, well, we're not big enough to be able to invest in that. And the stages of entrepreneurship, and then kind of the questions that of I always like to talk about, beginning with the end in mind. And that's kind of, we're going to begin this conversation of answering the questions to say, well, if you're going to have that mindset, then what is your business worth? What is the business? And when they think of that, you know, are you past the need? If you say that needs to be down the line. And so today I want to talk about beginning with the end in mind, wherever you are, because the thing I've been saying a lot when I've been talking with a lot of IT partners and coaching and people that are helping make the Master Facilitator program better is, we have to meet people where they are. So Brian, let's start it off by having a conversation around your thoughts around that.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the hardest things for small businesses is having the staff in place to operate, you know, the back office part of the software. And that's one of the things that I wanted to fix in the company that we started is, you know, being able to have that back office support, even for me as a small business. I operate two different companies. I've got my building company and I've got my software company. And so when I'm in my builder realm, I'm using managing it right like any other builder would use it. I would call them and say, hey, I need to add a part to it, or I need to change a schedule, or I need to pay a vendor, or what have you. And with managing it right, we offer all of those back office type things at a very, you know, very cost affordable rate, to really more cost affordable than I could hire someone on my construction side to do it full time. Because, you know, whenever you're talking about scaling and working and building, I want to be focused on the building part. That's what I do. I'm a builder. So when I'm in the field, I want to be able to focus on what I'm doing. And if I need to make a phone call and say, hey, add something, I want it to be quick and I don't want it to cost me a lot of money to do that. And I think that's where a lot of bigger IT companies fail at, is that they'll add information to the software or their softwares, but they won't build a roadmap to get it done. So, you know, managing it right is a company that, you know, we started so that someone could send us a set of plans and say, you know, what are the steps to complete this? And, you know, and that's what we provide them. Another thing is when you have a small business that says, this isn't, I'm not ready for this yet, or I'm not big enough for this yet. I always, like you said, you know, tell people, when do you want to start? When you're already behind the eight ball of, you know, you're already past the point of what you can do on email or Excel or those type of platforms to communicate. The biggest tool that you have is communication with all of the people that you're doing business with. And that's what managing it right provides.
Yeah, I would just say that you know, when you come back and say, what is your business worth? Why did you start the business in the first place, right? Most small businesses fail. I think it's 82% fail within 10 years. 20% fail within the first year. So you can be a great builder, and that's fine. But if you don't have efficient operations and you don't have efficient planning and time adherence and your financial systems and accounting aren't in line, you're not going to stay in business and you're not going to grow your business. So when it comes to, you know, people who have been in the business for 10 or so years and they're still writing everything down on paper and have poor communication methods and stuff like that, I said, well, how long do you want to stay in business? Do you want to do it for 20 years? Do you want to do it for 30 years? You want to go from building 2 homes a year to 100 homes a year? And I think you have to get with the times. Everything has gone digital. Technology has just advanced so much that this is the way things are going to be. So if you really want to be prosperous in your company, then this is something that you're going to have to do at some point.
I love that. And on the pre-interview, one of the statements that Brian made when we were just talking back and forth of kind of, we have to constructify IT. And what I mean by that is we have to speak contractors' language. And a lot of people, when it comes to IT, get very confused. Or a lot of times when I'm having conversations, as I own and operate a window and door company, and I'm constantly telling my team, careful about how much window and door speak that you put out to the market. And the question or the comment that Brian made is, when you're going down this path of asking them, well, do you just want to build this one house? And of course, no, I'm building a whole platform. I want to build everybody's house, right? Well, but if you say, I don't want to invest in an IT and a process then how are you going to actually build the next house better? And that's the part you better look yourself in the mirror and say, with technology now today, many builders are just technicians and they're living just in time. And the part that I want Brian and then Jeff to talk about is that IT should be your backbone and help you with that. It should be these discount double checks and this data set, because you have to run your business and have a business mindset. And it's such a cliche, and I hear it everywhere I go. There's coaches all over the place that talk about this. But Tribe, we have this podcast because it's actually really hard to do this. Because Brian, you tee this thing up and over, seven times for the first time, is if you're going to be a builder, be the best builder and niche into the riches and the niches. And that's the last question we're going to ask it today is, don't be a builder and an expert of this, 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 and this. So the whole not an IT expert, how can you afford to do all that? So the solutions we need to talk about and kind of look ourselves in the mirror, say, do you just want to build one house or do you want to build a process to get better at building every house and a roadmap and a pipeline for the future? What's your take to that, Brian?
Well, there's two things really is that, you know, when you start issuing purchase orders to suppliers start thinking of you as a business that's taking your business seriously. You know, if you're calling suppliers and saying, hey, I want to order something, or I want to, you know, get an account started, and you're not using purchase orders, they, you know, kind of put you at a different level of client. And so there's two different ways to think of this is, do you want to be able to work as close to what production companies are working? Like, how do you want your company to portray to your vendors and your suppliers that you're purchasing from is a very important part of the process. And then secondly, having reports on every job that's completed and knowing, a lot of people, you know, when they get finished with the project, they don't even know if it's profitable or not because they don't track every single expense. A lot of expenses go by the wayside, or they don't track every single thing, or that's like, that's a common cost. But when you work on a platform, you know, and you're tracking every expense to a dollar amount that's posted to a job, it's, you know, at the end of that job, it's going to give you a report of what you've spent. And that is, you know, really important information, especially in the future, where you can always look back and say, how much did it cost me to do that the last time? Or did I get better? Was it cheaper to do it the next time? Or did our prices get better because of our volume? And being able to track that over a period of time is invaluable.
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, inefficient operations can really run you under, right? So how do you become more efficient? And I think proper documentation and tracking is going to take you to a different level. And if you want to be serious in this, the efficient tracking and efficient planning is what's going
to
do it.
Love it. And we get a lot of people reaching out to us wanting to talk about IT. And one of the things I was really excited, number one, was that you guys are builders and you can really speak to the builder. And number two is that you're really out to solve problems. And one of the things, we'll put the link in the show notes, was an article that I read on titled Plans to Profits and the Essential Software Products for Home Builders. And that really stuck out to me. And why it did is that you have to really speak to the right audience and niche in. And we talk a lot about the customer care wheel of the cradle to cradle. And the term you'll hear is cradle to grave on per project. And that cradle to grave, just, I cringe when I hear grave, because that's kind of back to that one and done mentality versus getting better every time. And the tagline that you use with that, titled Plans to Profits, I absolutely love that, because you got to meet them where they are. Everything starts with the plan set. And then you have to figure out, is it really the build set and working on and in the business of how that stuff comes together? So Brian, let's kind of niche in and talk through, can you unpack in a conversation mode what that article was all about?
This article on the finance part and the budgeting part and accounting part, it really goes back to what I was referring to, is tracking all of your expenses as you're going through any project, whether it's a small remodeling project or it's a full blown house or it's a townhouse. I mean, you want to be able to track all the expense budgeting that may be known and may be unknown. So in our system, we have purchase orders that that track the planned expenses. And then we've got variance or manual POs that track unplanned expenses. So when you're building a project and you say, okay, my plan is to spend, you know, $100,000 to build this small structure, and it ends up costing, you know, $120,000, you need to find out why, where that $20,000 came from, and make sure that you either account for it the next time, or just figure out what the you know, where that came from, so you know how to budget for it the next time.
Jeff, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, no, I think it's you know, optimized resource allocation. You know, the softwares, or you know, not just our software, it's just a software in general is going to optimize the allocation of resources, labor, equipment, materials, and it's going to keep your costs down. You know, you learn as you go, and the person that builds their first house is going to know a lot more by the time they get to their 10th house. So streamlining those processes and you know, making those plans beforehand, it goes a long ways into keeping you profitable. I mean, you're not going to, nobody wants to build a house and lose money.
There you go. Well, we'll talk, let's get into the money part of it. But first I want Brian talk through kind of from the origin of like, kind of how you built this software a little bit, and then really like who it's for and what it does, and then pass the baton to Jeff as the business development guy and have him talk through the pricing and the structure. And then of course we'll put links in the show notes and call to action. Of course, is all the tribe's going to be excited to schedule a demo and reach back out to you.
Yeah. So, you know, in most, a lot of different softwares, you know, there's a lot of different prices from, you know, from us and from our competitors. And what we've done is we've just put the most standard features that of really any of our competitors as a standard feature of our software. And where our prices differ is just how many jobs that are going to be active ongoing at any given time. You know, as far as like the manual jobs on the software is unlimited. So you can run as many unlimited jobs as you want to. And the main difference between the jobs and unlimited jobs is the jobs are predecessored. They are automatic. So once you start that job, it's going to automatically send out, it's going to automatically start sending out schedules. And if you need to do a schedule adjustment, it's going to automatically change the schedule for all of the predecessor items behind it. And then the manual jobs is more of a manual type setup where if you have to change a date, you're going to be doing that manually. And the main difference between those two is that the amount of data that is saved within our system. Other than that, you know, we allow unlimited users. You know, we've got surveys, CRMs, job schedules, purchase orders. You know, we track the vendors, we track our clients, we track our warranty, all within the software.
So if I heard you right, that's a few of the buckets and kind of managing out of you building these different software stacks of kind of if then that, and then kind of how it works. And then, Jeff, that's where you're out there. If somebody has questions, you're going through that with the potential partners to say, to meet them where they are at and talking through bronze, gold, diamond, platinum of the different structures that you've mapped that out. Am I understanding this correctly?
Correct. Correct. That is correct.
So yeah. Give us the 30-second commercial that when to tee it up on what you talk to people about when you're getting going on talking about managing it right with potential partners.
Yeah, you know, really, it's just identifying what that builder or landscaper or masonry, what their pain point is. We do, like Brian said, we have all the standard features for considerably better price than our competitors. And I know that because I put together the competitors list. So do we have a software for everybody? Yes. But if it doesn't address their pain point, our software is not for them. So first thing is identifying their pain points. What's a big issue? A lot of times what I'm seeing the common issue and what kind of perks up builders' ears is the liability insurance tracking. So with our software, you can't give a purchase order out if your vendor's insurance is bad. And that's what a lot of software is out there. It doesn't track that. It doesn't have the in-depth warranty tracking as well. So we get into figuring out their pain points, then figuring out, you know, qualify them and see if the software is right for them. If it is right for them, then we have a solution.
Yeah. So you kind of talked about a really important add-on depending on like meeting them where they are, but also you don't know what you don't know and you're jaded by what you think you know as you've been using whatever software you use and you just keep trying to put the square peg in the round hole. Do you have any noteworthy add-ons or items that you have like, you know, for the Art of Construction listening to this, what are some different plugins or add-ons? I'm not sure, additional features, I think you guys call them, of things that you could add on. Because I'm intrigued. I'm loving where you guys are at, that you came from being builders. You have a platform that is as good or better than the competition from the baseline. But how can we grow together? What are some noteworthy things to discuss about that?
Yeah, I think there's definitely three add-ons that come to mind. One is invoicing. Invoicing is super important, right? And if you want to portray yourself as a professional, you need to have some professional invoicing. You know, we've had people come to my house and do work and they want me to cash app them. They're like, hey, it's you know, $150, just cash app me. And, you know, it makes me not really want to work with that person again because it just doesn't, they don't come off as a professional company, right? So invoicing is important. And basically what we do is we'll white label the invoicing. We'll put your company's logo on it and you can do all your payments, everything, and all through Stripe. So it's real professional. That's a great add-on for anybody, whether you're a huge company or a little company. I think another one, the map location capturing. If you have employees and they're you know, checking on to the job and you want to make sure that they're at the job. So what will happen is when they go to clock in on the job in the tabs, it'll actually pinpoint where they are. And you can go click on that pinpoint, like on Google Maps, and it'll take you exactly to where they are. So, you know, they're clocking in at the job and they're clocking off at the job. So, you know that they were there, right?
But they just do all that on their own. They check all those boxes perfectly, right? You don't need any.
Yeah, all the time. All the time. They're always where they say they are. So I think that's a big one for accountability. And I think that's great for especially larger companies that have, you know, we also do asset management and that's a standard feature. So if somebody's driving a company truck and has company equipment, you want to make sure they're at the right spot, right? And then the last one I'll really hit on, we're the digital age. If you don't have a website, or at least you don't have a presence online, it's really hard to grow your company because consumers know to go to Google, to go to Bing, and search for general contractors, landscapers, home builders, stuff like that. If you don't pop up, you may not get that business. You may lose out on that business. So what we offer is an e-commerce site. Essentially, it's a landing page that we will design. It'll be white labeled. The company gets the final approval, but we can go in there. We can make you a landing page where customers can come in, look at your plans, decide what color they want. They want brick, they want stucco, whatever. And then they can check out. And what it does is sends you a request. So that way you can contact the customer immediately. But it kind of gives you a presence and it allows the consumer to build their product with you.
I absolutely love all that. And what I would say is everything you just talked about, technically to me, are not add-ons. They're a need to have, not a nice to have of the buckets that you talked about. But you have to meet them where they are. And that's why you're trying to say, okay, how do I get started and then build this up over time? you do need those things, but you can't do everything at once. And that's what I love about how you're building this out and meeting them where they are. So we'll make sure we put links in the show notes. Jeff, you guys are, you're open and willing to do demos with them and kind of meet them where they are and talk through and show them that.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Especially if you're in Las Vegas, Brian said he would happily send me on a trip out there to do a demo. So
there you go. Are you, when you say Las Vegas, is that where you live or you just love Las Vegas?
No, I just, you know, it's another one of those places. Disney World too. If you want to meet me at Disney World, Brian said he'd buy the tickets.
Brian, you're real quiet right now.
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt.
There you go. Attaboy, attaboy.
No, but going back to what Jeff was saying about the e-commerce and some of these add-ons, the main reason why we added these as add-ons is because, you know, if you look at some of the other competitor prices where they're starting at like $700-$900 a month, our, you know, smallest package starts at $99 a month. And what we're really trying to do is for the smaller builders, you know, even up to the mid-sized builder, is build a package that best fits them so that, you know, some of these smaller businesses, you know, when they're thinking about, well, what's my cost in having software for a year, when, you know, you're looking at $99 being basically $1,200 a month, or you're looking at $1,000 basically being $12,000 a year, it's, you know, it's a big number. So, you know, like where someone may have a, you know, website already, there's no reason for us to add that into a package that people don't need to spend for that particular enhancement. So we kind of built our software around, you know, what is the minimum that you need to operate, and giving the maximum amount of features. And then the items that are add-on, like the PO images, for example, you know, we allow 3 images to be uploaded on every PO, whether it's by the vendor or by the builder. And if you're out on a job site and you want to, you know, take a picture of, you know, the siding being completed, or if a vendor wants to upload an invoice, our system allows you to do that. But let's say that, you know, a builder wants to be able to upload 20 pictures to a purchase order. You know, we want to give them the availability to increase that number to what is going to meet up with their business plan or business model, what their expectations are. And it's really invaluable. You get finished with a job and you're a year down the road. If you're a builder, it takes a lot of pictures and you want to be, you know, you have a warranty comes up and you want to be able to find, well, what are those exact pictures that I need to look for when we did electric rough? You can go to the electric rough purchase order, pull up all the images that were saved to that purchase order, and, you know, see what was behind the walls or what have you. So the add-on subscriptions that we add with Managing It Right is just for you to further what your desire is in your expectations of software. And, you know, but our main focus is to try to keep our product as cost affordable as possible. And like when someone comes up and says, hey, you know, I want to buy this add-on or that add-on and they're just starting, you know, I generally tell people, listen, you need to wait for at least 30, 60, 90 days. Let's get you all your information uploaded. Let's get, you know, a design put in place. Let's get a plan uploaded. You know, I don't want to be collecting money on items that you're not using yet. So, you know, when the time comes and you need it, Managing It Right will grow with them is, you know, to as many jobs as they plan on building. And, but we give that person that's just starting out a fair, you know, shake at getting started on software as well.
I absolutely love that. And thanks for sharing that story, Brian. As we work to close this thing out, the questions we always ask, I'm going to go Jeff and then Brian on our final two questions here. Brian, this question I love to ask when I get to have people who actually live in technology and are actually trying to connect the technologies to the handshakes, which this podcast is specifically for builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. Jeff, what's your crystal ball when we're looking down the line for the future with technology and construction?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of processes that are going to be AI generated now. I know that's kind of the easy answer because we're kind of in the AI world at the moment, but I think a lot of project management processes, especially as it comes to software, it's going to be automated. It's going to be automated systems, which is going to be great. It's going to, you know, really make a lot of things easier, but at the same time, it's going to be tough for people who are already behind the curve, on software.
Yeah, 100%. Either you're growing or dying. And if you're not jumping in board now, I can only imagine how you're going to get, how you're going to pick up the pieces down the road. Brian, what's your take or crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
I've got a little different take on it where, you know, I've talked with guys that, for example, put cameras up on job sites. And I think a camera is invaluable for a job site. It lets you know if someone showed up, but it doesn't let you know what the quality is. It's hard to build off of a picture, right? So, and software is no difference. You'll have a lot of companies that'll go out and say, listen, you can't do it without software. And I think it's an invaluable tool, but it's not the only tool. And, you know, where you have a lot of AI and computer softwares that's taken over, you know, ordering at McDonald's, for example, or order, you know, all these type of jobs that are being lost to technology. I'm a firm believer that technology doesn't replace, you know, construction management in the field. I think it's invaluable to have someone that is there, that is putting their eyes on it, that is accepting the work that's being done. But it definitely is going to be a, you know, it's definitely going to give you a hand up when it comes to communication, when it comes to making sure your jobs are tracking correctly, when a vendor can look and get a long enough lead time to make sure that they show up on time and that the person in front of them are finishing up, you know, at the time that they're supposed to. What any software should do is it should open up the channels of communication for everybody to be able to talk from one platform. Instead of having to text 50 different people, you can, you know, communicate with 50 different people at once. And I think that that's the main focus that anyone should have on software, besides the value of being able to look backwards. I mean, throughout history, we're always looking back at history. They say history repeats itself. So if you are a bad manager of money during a project, then history is going to repeat itself and you're going to be a bad manager on the next project. Being able to look back at a project that has been completed and say, okay, these are my failures, or I did really good at this, lets you know how to move forward in your company. And you're never too small to get started.
Absolute gold, Brian. Thank you so much. And the final question, Jeff, and then Brian, send us home and I'll do our final farewells and closeouts. Jeff, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, I think you want to go from good to great. You got to get the right people on the bus. Get the right people on the bus and then drive that bus where you want it to go. But you got to have the right people first.
Love it. Brian, bring us home.
So, I mean, I think that it's, I tell people all the time when they come to me about building a house, I say, listen, come and look at my product and then go look at my competitor's product and make your own decision based on that. And, you know, so the level of my work and determination in my construction projects has kind of followed me through building a, you know, software company. And, you know, I tell people the same thing. Go and look at what other people have to sell and what they're offering and the price, and then, but give us a chance. You know, see what the difference is before you make a final decision of, you know, what's going to be best for me.
Awesome. Well, Brian, Jeff, it's such an honor to have you guys. Thank you for reaching out and being part of the Master Facilitators and jumping in and being guides and coming in and sharing your stories.
Hey, absolutely. Appreciate you. Thank you.
So to begin with the end in mind, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, how long do you want to stay in business? And of course, we all would say forever, and we want to leave a legacy forever. But these talking tracks, you better pay attention to those. And ironically, I was in a sales roundtable this morning with my own company, and I left the sales roundtable because we were in section 5 of the customer care wheel. And on the pre-interviews, we didn't talk about this at all. And then Brian, the example he made was to be professional. If somebody calls and you just give them their name or you don't have a PO log, instantly your credibility goes down. And I always talk about you get one chance to make a first impression, but there's so many first impressions along the way, because that's a critical part where you're passing the baton from the people who are working on the business to the people that are in the business. And this data piece must be linked to your customer care wheel and all of your IT roadmaps. And I raise my hand, Tribe, and I say that's hard. Literally, we were in a meeting this morning with my company talking about that very thing of Section 5 procurement, because there's so many hands in the cookie jar at that time, right? I want my commission. I want it yesterday. I want it for this. I want it to be this. But you have to all come together and you have to manage the two things we don't have enough of, and that's time and money. And so the book we're reading as a company right now, I've read it 10 times, The E-Myth Revisited, and then also books like Traction. Then you have to go read those books, and then you have to go down these journeys in conjunction, and you got to be able to manage it right. But you can't manage it right by yourself. But the first thing you have to know is you have to know who your partners are. And the thing that Brian and Jeff, I just loved the conversations, because they jumped in with both feet and asked a ton of really good questions. And we're really close with them both being in the group to 100 AOC master facilitators, and we're well on our way to 500. And at the end of the day, it's not if, it's when there's problems. And you better have a team that has your back. And the old saying of, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. And Brian, I loved when he talked about how when people say the add-ons and they built it up for $99 and building up. And Brian and I had some great conversations about competitive analysis, about how other software stacks work of like, you have to go all in and you got to be all this way. But that's not how it works. We got to meet them where they are. And Brian talked about building together over time. And the key statement I heard from him is that he's really here to be partners in communication over time and getting people like Jeff to really be there to help understand and share the story. Make sure you check out the show notes if you want to get into the master facilitators. If you're wondering if financially I'm not quite sure if I can do it right now, hit me up on the message board and let's talk about it. Brian and I are cut from the same cloth. We're here to build better buildings, but you have to have a tribe and a team that's all rowing in the same direction. So we can meet up with Brian and Jeff in the Master Facilitators program, or make sure if you don't have a platform like this, check it out. The barrier to entry is so small and they're managing it right. Crush it out there, tribe.